Purdue Sports Talk Radio Show. I'm your co-host, Jarrell. Derek is out today. He is back in L.A. enjoying some family time. But don't trip. We have our resident degenerate. If you got it, then spend it because you can't take this money with you. Rudy Vasquez.
Let's go, baby.
And of course, our Jew for Jesus, the one, the only, Statman Brad.
Yeah.
All right. We're back. We are here. Football season is almost upon us. Mm-hmm. Week zero in college football this past weekend, which, what a stupid name. Week zero.
That's the dumbest thing ever. They just need to stop saying that.
I feel like it's the most irrelevant week of the football season.
It's week one, though.
Yeah.
It is week one.
It's week one, but it's irrelevant teams.
If it's regular season games, it's week one.
Yeah. I mean, if teams are playing. That's week one.
Also, when you're born, you're one. But, I mean, that's we're really...
That's Wait, when you're good. Born, you're one?
In my opinion.
You're one for 2 years, technically?
Yeah.
All right, just want to make sure the math adds up there.
I mean, you're two on your first, what would be your first birthday. So when you're born...
So, wait.
Hear me out.
How old are you today, then?
I would be 30. I'm 38 by current societal standards.
But you're 39 by your standards.
Correct.
Okay.
But just
Why
hear
would
me.
You want to do that to yourself?
Oh, I don't care. Because I look great for my age, hey. So I'm not really worried about it. Listen, aging is inevitable. It's a blessing. And, you know, other than the body and the way the body recovers from partying, food, and not exercising daily, and even the way it does recover from exercising.
It's trash.
All that sucks, but my mind is sharper than ever, baby. when you're born, that's your birthday, technically, even though no one celebrates it. That's technically your first birthday.
No one was excited when you were born?
I mean, there's
that's
people
celebration.
At the hospital.
Yeah, but no one had a birthday party for me.
Oh, it was for your mom, not for you.
But it's my birthday.
Yeah, but they're celebrating your mom for...
Yeah, I mean, and rightfully so. And they probably should celebrate my mom and never me because I did absolutely nothing to get here. You know, my mom
I mean, you survived.
Yeah, but I mean, I did nothing to do that. I just was a... You know, listen, we're getting bogged down here. Let's make fun of Derek because he's out. He can't defend himself. But what I can tell you... is Derek is just no good for rooting for the Dodgers. He's no good at it. And this is what I mean.
Sorry,
if he shows up to your stadium and he is the and he is rooting for his Dodgers and they are playing,
bet against
fade. Yeah. Fade all day. All day fade on Derek being at an actual Dodgers game. Twice last year, I believe. I know for a fact when he went with us, he didn't actually make the game. But he went on the trip to go to the Giants-Dodgers game and ended up getting sick whilst on said trip. Dodgers lost 2-1 to the Giants. He went with you and Darren last year.
Yeah, or the year before.
The year before. Before, yeah.
So if he makes the attempt to go there,
that's all he's got to do.
That's all he has to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
game 7, famously, he went to...
The World Series.
The World Series.
Game
he
7.
Went to Astros, Dodgers in L.A. Obviously, the Astros were cheating, but they win Game 7 in the World Series. And, of course, this past weekend, our co-host, our friend, took his dad to Fenway Park, which was awesome.
Yeah,
great look
for
him.
Yeah.
Really, really cool trip. Just a great idea. Really happy he got to do that. But, of course, he watched the Dodgers loss. And I'm just saying, man, if you want to make some money, just check. Hey,
track Derek.
Is Derek at the game today? If so, fade.
I think he could actually make some money by having people pay for him to go to games so that they could bet against.
I think Derek would actually love that.
I think he would absolutely love that. I think he could make a business model out of that.
Yeah, maybe we could figure out a Giants fund and send him to every Dodgers game.
I mean, you could send him to every single game at the last part of the year. They could make a run at the end of it.
We could, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not a bad idea. This is a half-baked idea. But
yes, let's try this.
Let's get working on this after the show. COB tomorrow, boys. We need to
absolutely
have an idea put together. But yeah, Derek's not here to defend himself. I do want to get his Fenway experience when he gets back next week. But let's talk about something else missing. Trey Lance is missing from the 49ers roster after the 49ers traded him. What was it, Thursday, Friday last week, late last week?
I think it was Friday.
It was Friday, yeah.
Friday, yeah.
The Niners trade Trey Lance. And listen, okay, a lot of angles to cover here. The first thing I want to say is how cowardly it was of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch to not make any statement about what was going on prior to trading him after giving Trey Lance a day off and telling him he didn't need a report to practice and throwing dudes out there like Fred Warner and Javon Hargrave to answer questions on the front office, on the front office's behalf. I thought that was a really lame move on their part. And obviously, Kyle Shanahan gets all the praise for, I mean, let's face it, he's stabilized a franchise that hasn't had many good things happen since the Jim Harbaugh era.
True.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this move by the front office and trading three first-rounders to Miami to move up and get Trey Lance, who was a late first-round projection, but to move up, trade three first-rounders, everyone at the time thought it was a large haul, no matter how good Trey Lance was.
Yep.
And then just 2 years later to trade him away after he had, what, three regular season starts?
Something like that, yeah.
This is a failure. This is a giant failure.
Massive failure.
One of the worst wastes of a first-round pick mm-hmm. in recent memory across the board. You can't even call Trey Lance a bust because we don't know what he is yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you can't compare this pick to a Ryan Leaf of sorts because, A, we don't know what he is. But at the same time,
I think
like,
it's worse than that.
Well, for the team aspect, not for the player, because the team messed up. They didn't really give him a chance. There was a lot of comparisons to how much chances they gave Alex Smith. They gave Alex Smith a few years.
Like
they
gave 4, 5, 6 years.
Yeah, and they gave Trey Lance 4 starts. I think they should have held on, had Purdy in the background, gave him his 4 or 5 starts to see what he's going to do. If not, you throw Purdy in there, no harm, no foul.
Well, I don't think you could go into this season with Trey Lance as your starter, not knowing what he is. I think he had to be on the bench. But the fact that he couldn't beat out Josh Darnold for the...
Sam Darnold.
What did I call him? Josh Darnold? It's been a day. Oh, Mondays. The fact that he couldn't beat out Sam Darnold in the preseason for the number 2 spot on the roster is pretty concerning. And Purdy showed out last year. He did his thing. I mean, I don't think he blew anyone away, but he certainly... being Mr. Irrelevant outplayed what you would imagine someone to do at that at that pick, being the last pick in the draft. But the fact that he's already on a new franchise,
bye-bye.
It's just an epic failure. And I didn't like the way it was handled from jump. I don't like the fact that, again, that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, after sending him home, obviously they were working something in the background. To let your players go out and field questions on your behalf, I just thought was a really lame move. And I don't think they're catching enough fire for it. And look, they've done a great job with the franchise. This team, from top to bottom, probably has the most superstars or stars out of any team in the league right now. Or at least it's an argument. So they've done a hell of a job.
Except for the first-round picks that we've done the past 3-4 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and we don't have them, so it might be a good thing we don't have those picks. You know,
I think, and that's another thing.
Oh.
Listen, a lot of 11 other teams, I believe it was, passed on Patrick Mahomes, but we picked Solomon Thomas in the draft that year. Solomon Thomas is now a New York Jet, and will you look up the 2021 draft?
Yep,
and look up.
The 2021 draft?
Yeah, that's, okay. I believe, when we got Trey Lance. Look at who was picked right behind him, the next few draft picks after Trey Lance. And granted, this is all a guessing game. We're projecting. But I'm always nervous when you pick a guy who didn't play much.
Go ahead. We have Trey Lance was picked number 4, then Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle,
yes.
And then a few picks
Penei's
down.
Tools yep. on there.
It was the 15th round pick, right? Or no, what was your guys' pick that 12 year?
12 or 13.
Yeah. 12 or 13. Okay, yeah. So Dallas picked Micah Parsons and
that.
Justin Fields was also another one of those. So
all those dudes have
great careers so far.
So far, DeVonta Smith was up there. Jamar Chase was right up there. I mean, you look at those names, and again, I understand it's guessing work.
Jalen Waddle wasn't guessing work. You have Alabama behind his name.
Neither was Jamar Chase. You knew that dude was going to be a boss.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, those weren't guessing games, and yet somehow Trey Lance out of North Dakota State made that apparently great impression.
Yeah, and it's...
After one season.
Yep.
And granted, context does matter. We're talking about a COVID year where teams were not... Scouts were not traveling. You're playing in empty stadiums. And a lot of players weren't coming to team facilities and doing workouts. I don't know that you were allowed to that year. Mm-hmm. So you got to cut them. Context matters.
All right.
I want to cut them a little bit of slack there.
Yeah, and he had his chance last year, but we know what happened. Last year was his time to show us what he had. Unfortunately, he had, what, one game, two games to start, and then he was done. So our team is built to win now. And everyone knew that we couldn't go in this year with the unknown with Trey Lance. Brock Purdy got his chance last year, balled out, almost took us to the Super Bowl. So now we know what we have in him. So... That being said, Trey Lance was like, okay, this is not my team anymore, blah, blah. Supposedly, he's the one that requested the trade. Who knows? That's what people are saying, rumors or whatnot. And on the back end with the Cowboys, Jerry Jones didn't talk to Mike McCarthy. He didn't talk to Dak Prescott. This is all him and his son, Steven. So this is a Jerry Jones move 100%.
Well, I mean, do you want Trey Lance or Cooper Rush as your backup quarterback?
Who knows? Cooper Rush has shown that he could be a backup. Trey Lance hasn't shown anything.
You're right, but I mean, I'd rather take at least having a third. Yeah, I'll take the upside of what he could be and what he did show in college. I mean, it wasn't a snub.
He played
but
one season.
Yes, but still.
For North Dakota State.
It wasn't bad.
It was a great season.
It was a great season.
Yeah, but.
I mean, you look at the same thing. Kaepernick came from Nevada. He had a fairly good career as well.
Yeah, but
so,
he balled out for
again,
us. Yeah.
So it's a mid-major school that
it is,
balled out.
And it's a mystery.
Yeah.
It's going to be a mystery until he gets another opportunity.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting culture that's going to be happening now. I mean, Jerry Jones does this every single year. he'll do whatever
he loves the drama.
Yeah, he loves the drama, and I mean, he's also geriatric, so.
Yeah.
The biggest surprise of my lifetime was Jerry Jones not taking Johnny Manziel in the first round.
I think everyone was shocked.
That's still the biggest surprise. Yeah. At least.
He made a smart move.
Jerry Jones related.
Yeah, he did.
Was not picking Johnny Manziel in the first round. Speaking of which, and I want to get back to Trey Lance, but did you guys see the Johnny Manziel Untold?
Yeah.
It was decent.
It was good. I actually enjoyed it.
I hadn't seen it yet.
I thought Untold this season was okay. The Balco one, not that great.
Yeah,
I didn't really learn anything. But the Swamp Kings with the Florida Doc
that
I had been dying to watch.
It was
absolute trash, bro.
Yeah.
Absolute trash.
I was waiting for Hernandez.
It was an Urban Meyer redemption story.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Feel bad for me. Oh, I had so much stress.
Urban Meyer literally has a line in this doc. I poop you not. He literally says, the one thing that we will not tolerate and will get you kicked off this team is putting your hands on a woman.
Oh.
Same Urban Meyer. Same Urban Meyer that covered up as his assistant head coach or offensive coordinator.
Someone.
Beat the living hell out of his wife, and they were good friends, and he covered it up at Ohio State. What was the guy's name?
I forgot his name, but...
Same guy. It's also in the documentary. I'm
sorry
for yelling.
It could have been so much better, though.
They didn't cover anything. They didn't touch
nothing
on the fact that Aaron Hernandez murdered two people.
Yeah, dude. The Pouncey brothers.
Were there multiple murderers on that team? I believe there's another guy
on
that team that was at least accused of murdering
someone. The Cam Newton situation?
The Cam Newton situation.
So he covered up his former assistant, Zach Smith.
Ah. Zach Smith. How many players were arrested? I think 31 players on that team were arrested. This is the same team that featured Percy Harvin.
Someone got a DUI. One of their ballers got a DUI before the national championship.
That's right. They just talked about what a great team it was.
The Percy Harvin situation.
Joke. Yes.
I mean, it could have been the best Untold
41.
Show.
41 players were arrested.
Damn.
Yep.
41
And not
players.
One of them was mentioned at
they
all.
They talked about Tim Tebow. Listen,
yeah, which is cool, but
we all knew that story.
Yeah, people want to hear the dirt and
called Untold.
Yes,
tell
exactly.
Tell me the dirt.
Stuff that we want to hear about the backstories.
Don't
not
tell me about how great this team was.
Yeah, I don't want to. Urban Meyer, I know stressed.
If you're gonna give me
the killer, but I don't care. We all knew you were stressed.
If you're gonna tell me about a program and how great they are, take me inside Alabama.
Yeah,
that's a story worth sharing. They didn't tell us anything that I did not know.
No, exactly, dude.
They were good. Tim Tebow was a legend.
It was a pointless documentary.
Oh, my God. That was so hyped. I was like, this is going to be the one.
Yeah, and that's why it's getting reamed by everyone.
Four-part series. I got through 1.5, and I was like, so we're not going to talk about any of the controversies? I'm out of here.
Dude, I watched the whole thing waiting for, like, okay, blah, blah, blah. But nope, it never happened.
So don't waste your time if you haven't.
Don't even watch it.
If you have, I'd love to hear from our audience. How dreadful did you think this documentary was? I don't love... It's rare that you have the characters that were involved in an autobiography, right? Like, I don't want to hear from them. I want to hear the truth. Mm-hmm. And this, I mean, at the end, they talk about... I saw snippets. They talk about Urban Meyer leaving Jacksonville. That ain't what happened. His players hated him.
Yeah.
He won one game. He tried to ruin Trevor Lawrence's career. He kicked his punter. He got caught staying behind in Cleveland after a game at his restaurant, dancing, having young ladies dance on his lap when he's a married man.
Yep.
And his wife was at home with their babysitting their grandchildren. This is not a good dude.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer is not a good person. And this was a puff piece on what a great coach he is. Mm-hmm. What a joke. I'm sorry. What a joke.
Yeah, that was.
I started watching it the other night and I was like, what is this? What?
It sucked.
What is going
Plain
on?
Plain and
here?
Simple. It was wasting my
time. They practiced real hard. Great.
Oh, woohoo.
We know they won a national championship. This is not interesting. I was
I could care less
so than. Disappointed. Oh,
yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, well.
Let's go back to Trey Lance real quick, if we could.
Yeah.
Now that he's going over to the Cowboys, let's project out. And this is a real dumb game. But listen, we got some time to kill today, so why not? His future with the Cowboys, will he be, by the end of the season, will he start a game over under 0.5 games started this year?
I think he will.
Over. Yeah,
Dak will get hurt some. I mean, I hope he doesn't. I don't praise anyone getting hurt or whatnot. But, you know, he has a history of him getting hurt. So, yeah, I could see him starting multiple games. And Cowboys have a good team.
They have a great team this year. Yeah,
so
at least on paper.
I could see him doing well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Over on that.
I mean, it just depends on where Cooper Rush is on the depth chart, if he's the number two.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, but I could still see it. I think he could outwork Cooper Rush at that time, or Cooper Rush has a couple bad games while Dak's out, and then they're going to throw Trey Lance in after a couple games of Cooper Rush. So I think it's over. Yeah. I think it's over that 0.5.
Okay.
But.
And shout out to the third stringer for the Cowboys that balled out against the Raiders.
Yeah,
because he knew he was going to get cut. So I'm like, all right, this is my showcase. And that dude slayed out there. I forgot what his name is.
That's awesome.
He put a performance out, that's for sure.
The Niners have no kicker.
None. They're both. Dude, we brought in two
What's
guys.
What's going on, man?
We brought in two guys today or yesterday for tryouts. So we're going to sign one of them because both of our kickers are out at least until week two. So we got that going. We got the Bosa situation, which the update is nothing at all.
I saw a meme. For those of you who don't know, Bosa's fiance now or your girlfriend?
That blonde girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has sent many a racist tweet using hard R's. And so he's associated with some not so great stuff. And the memes about Bosa sprinting back to the Niners now that they got rid of their one and only black quarterback. Oh, mwah, chef's kiss. Just brilliant. The internet remains undefeated.
Yeah.
But yeah, no update on Bosa. No. I imagine they're going to get the deal done.
Yeah, but it happens every year. Kittle. Same situation, dragged out for no reason. He still got what he wanted. Last year, the Debo situation was scary because he's like, yeah, I want no part of the Niners. I'm out. Blocked him on social media, which I think is the dumbest thing ever. Like, oh, I'm going to unfollow my team. Like, come on, guys. Like, relax. And what happened? He got paid, too. So I don't know what we are doing. We just need to pay the damn guy. We know we are. Just give him the damn money. We have the money. We were number one in ticket sales last year, bro. Like, the money's there. Just pay him.
Shout out to him getting to miss the entire training camp because I think that's the goal, right?
Yeah. Don't show up to training camp. Just train on your own. And Bosa, if you come not ready to roll, dude, hoo-wee. and you get her week one. I'm not going to say it. I take that back. He's going to be ready to go. Let's go, baby.
So Will Grier is
thank you.
Is the backup quarterback that got cut, but he had a 305-yard game, two touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns, and 53 yards rushing.
Damn.
So he balled out. Yeah. So good for him. Yeah. I do hope he finds a home. Backup job somewhere else, which honestly, with those type of numbers, even though they are preseason, like it shows something.
Still.
It's not like you're playing against high school
guys.
So
that's still quite a game.
Yeah. But if anything, you'll probably see him get picked up midseason.
Yeah.
There's going to be somebody getting injured, somebody coming
practice
in. So
squads,
exactly.
Everywhere.
I mean, practice squads still make some money.
Dude, they make big.
They make like 60, 70K.
Oh, yeah.
Minimum.
No. They make it's six figures.
Oh, is it six figures?
And 60, 70K is nothing, bro.
I mean, tell that to a minor league baseball player.
Fair.
Yeah.
But that's minor league. That's not. If you're on the practice squad,
that's
you're not in the NFL.
I mean, technically, you're in the MLB when you're in the minors. You're on the roster.
AAA.
Yeah. So. Okay,
fair enough. Point well taken.
Thank you.
All right. Is Kittle showing up, do you think?
Yeah, he played.
Game. I'm sorry.
He's good.
Kittle's there, Debo's there. We're just missing
our main
Bosa,
main
Bosa.
Dude.
That's
and,
right,
and a kicker too.
Do we actually know how much he's actually asking for?
170 total. I think it comes out to like $30 million a year or something.
Honestly,
Donald makes about $23 million, I believe.
He wants to be the highest paid defensive player.
It's either $30 or $33 million that he wants.
Give him
a year.
The money.
Give it to him.
Who are you gonna find?
Exactly.
Who are you going to find that's going to be able to replace that? That's going to be able to give you. Yeah. So pay the guy.
There. We're not winning the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
They have to.
And it's the same agent that has Joe Burrow, too. Same agency. So that agent is going to have the two largest contracts back to back years.
Shouts to him.
He knows what he's doing, obviously, but it is what it is now.
Let's talk a little baseball.
Sounds so excited.
Well, I did watch the Giants get the dub yesterday, which was nice.
Yeah, much needed one, dude.
It was a pretty entertaining game, too. But they're going to need to get a lot more of those.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think we're a game and a half back.
Of the Wild, yep.
From Arizona, which Arizona's playing the Dodgers. I hate to root for the Dodgers, but just sweep them for us.
They're out of reach at this point, so it's going to be difficult.
We're not playing good ball. Our bullpen was good, is good, but when it comes to playoff, they're not going to have an arm because we use them so much and we rely on them so many every damn game we rely on our bullpen.
Yeah, and Duvall does not look like he was in the beginning of the season.
No.
He's
tired.
He's not just that, but he's not blowing – he's shaking off Bailey a lot.
Yeah.
And I think there's – in the beginning of the season, they had the trust, and apparently there's something off where he's throwing either straight fastballs or straight cutters, and it's the hitters are able to see it. And I don't know if it is him being tired or him trying something else, because when he was asked, like, why are you throwing just all these pitches, he's like, I don't know. Yeah. At a certain point, he just said, I don't know, which that's not what you want to hear in your closer.
That's the last
thing. But again, like you said, we're a half game out. We're 13 and a half out from the Dodgers, so we still have the chance to make it into the wild card. It's not doom and gloom, but it's something to look at and be like, we were top of the wild card weeks ago.
We're a game and a half back.
A game and a half. 13 and a half from the Dodgers. A game and a half from the wild card with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Here's what's scary. If you look at the
schedule, is not
division,
pretty.
I want pull up the schedule, but also if you look at the division leaders and the three teams ahead of us in the wild card and the last 10. The Braves are 7-3. Dodgers are 7-3. Milwaukee 8-2. Philly 7-3. Chicago 7-3. Arizona 8-2. Giants 3-7. And if I had read this to you last week,
it
would have been just about the same. The Giants have fallen. I don't want to say fallen apart, but they have not played like they were playing before the All-Star break. Since the All-Star break,
no,
they've really struggled.
Same story last year. We killed it the first half, and then second half, boom, nothing at all. Bats go silent. Mm-hmm. We are just getting worked by every team. I don't care if you're top of the league or the bottom. We are getting worked by. I can't remember last time we won a damn series.
I mean, I am totally out on watching any NL playoff games. If it's going to be just the Dodgers and Philly, I'm going to throw up. I mean, I can't think of two franchises I despise more.
The last series we won was the beginning of August when we swept the Diamondbacks.
Oh, that
was the last series we won. We have not had a pretty series. We lost to the A's, lost to the Angels, the Rangers, Tampa Bay, and then we had our two series against the Braves and against the Phillies. We didn't do too hot. But we have redemption coming up with the Reds that'll be coming up here in about
today, coming up here soon.
So we're tied right now in the wild card for them. So if we can take two out of three and just get back on the horse and then head back down to San Diego and see if we can sweep there. If we can come here, go two out of three, go back down to San Diego, it's going to be a hard task because that's a four-game series with them.
Oh, wow.
And see if we can sweep, if not take three out of the four there. Then we're playing another big wild card opponent against the Cubs in Chicago. That's going to be a difficult one. But then we have a little bit of reprieve, kind of, against the Rockies. And this is going to be the watch that we have for the next couple weeks is how are we going to be doing in these series?
Yep.
And I think it comes down to just win the series. Doesn't like if we
No sweep, just two out of three.
But we're facing off against a team that we're tied with in the middle of the pack for the wild card with the Reds. And somebody that's the number two team in the wild card with the Cubs, if we can go in there with a good streak going, there's nothing we can't do. And I think we got a great bullpen. They just need to figure it out. They showed a lot of promise at the beginning of the season. It just figuring out how to get them some rest and get those arms back into rotation and go from there.
100%. Yeah. I agree.
Maybe if we can pick up somebody from the waiver wires coming up by the end of the month.
Maybe a pitcher would be great.
Yeah.
And a bat, dude. I mean,
it's been rough.
It's been quiet. I mean, but we all expected this in the offseason because
we weren't expecting to be in this spot again, but
well, yeah, exactly.
We're here.
Yeah, we're here right now, and we didn't sign anyone big, you know, as usual. But, you know, it just being a
When
Giants
was the
fan,
last major free agent acquisition for the Giants? Who was the last?
To actually sign or trade for?
To sign with us.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't remember. No one? Peterson?
Yeah. Technically, yeah.
That's the biggest name that we've had in the past 3-4 years. I can't remember one free agent that, like, I want to go there. It's just one of those situations that we're always in the running for all these ballers, but we never, you know, finish a damn deal. Never.
Give Shohei $1 billion. Just give him $1 billion.
Give him everything. I don't care if he needs surgery or not.
Give him Salesforce
something.
Tower. Give him part ownership of the Bay Bridge. Like, let him collect a little bit of money because they're raising the tolls anyway.
Give him a kickback. Yeah.
And I'm happy to
100% raise the taxes in the city.
Yeah,
if you want
me to pay $10 to go over that damn bridge, then
it's
give
$10 now.
I think it went up to 8 or 9
for the
or
Golden
it's about
Gate
to,
or Bay Bridge.
Bay Bridge.
God, no.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Holy moly.
That man, Brad, if you get a chance, could you see if the tolls are going up
for the
Bay
or for the
Bay Bridge? Bay Bridge.
$10?
I heard it was going up.
Well, it's always been 7. It's been 7 for a while, right?
I think so. 6? 6, yeah. But listen, if you want to charge me $9, make sure $1 of each 9 goes to Shohei.
That would pay for the damn
contract.
I'm good
with that.
Dude,
yeah,
easily,
I'm fine with that.
Without even 7. Blinking.
It's 7 currently.
Yep.
That
so
it's rumored to jump up.
The Golden Gate is almost $9. So
okay, so move Golden Gate to 9, and then move the Bay to 750.
Yeah,
done.
As long as Shohei gets a kickback,
yeah,
I don't care.
Done. Pay for the damn contract.
I'm down.
Yeah,
I think that's a great idea. I think the area of the Bay Area. I think the Bay Area would be down.
The area of the Bay Area.
I was going to say San Francisco, but it's not just San Francisco that roots for the Giants. I think the whole entire Bay Area would be down for bringing in Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, yeah.
Except for Oakland. I think they'd be pretty upset about
that.
Yeah,
but Oakland would be gone in 2-3
years.
Yeah,
so you know, I think if they want to see great talent, they're going to have to pay an extra buck going over the tolls.
Down.
Which, I mean, you know what? Let me do some math.
We're saying that because we don't live in the Bay, but I'll still pay for it. I'll send 50 cents every week. to Fast Track or whoever collects it. Be like, there you go. There's my donation for the damn contract.
Obviously, we're joking. I don't think they should use public funds at
no,
all.
Never.
When these teams,
the Giants have plenty of money,
all worth billions of dollars,
sell out crowds every damn game on a Tuesday. Come on now.
Yeah,
the money's there. Let's spend it.
Thank
spend
you.
Spend it right.
You're so right, Rudy.
Yeah,
it's got to be tough being right all the time.
It
Am
sucks,
I right?
Dude.
I'm right.
It's tiring, bro.
So the Bay Bridge has 260,000 vehicles that drive over it every single day. The Golden Gate is 112 vehicles every single day. So that's 372 vehicles with an extra dollar a day. I think we can sign.
That's
we
easy.
Can sign Ohtani.
Where does that money
like,
go?
That's I don't know, but you know what? That'll be
that's,
enough.
That's almost 95 million. Oh, wait, no. Hold on.
Let me take care of the math on air. You go with your next point.
Yeah, it's almost $95 million a year. I'm down.
Honestly,
if we just add a single dollar.
$1. Yeah. $1.
$1 for those vehicles.
An Ohtani tax.
Yeah.
I would,
you're welcome,
you know what?
San Francisco
that
Giants.
That is a tax I can get behind.
Yes. An Ohtani tax.
An Ohtani tax.
I'm down.
It needs to happen.
If you want public funding, we
yes.
should be able to do dumb stuff like
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
Honestly,
that money goes God knows where. It's not going to damn streets.
Give him $60 million and take the other $30 million to a charity of his choice. Have that in the contract.
See, we're talking.
Yeah.
Have something for the community that he chooses to go to.
Yeah. An Ohtani-backed community service project in San Francisco.
Yes.
Done and done.
We have fixed this. We've got
easy.
It. It's too easy. Exactly. There's so many bridges.
100%, dude.
Yeah, we should run this state because it's not like anyone else has done a good job.
Yeah,
because
we all know that money's not going
years.
To fix the potholes and fix the roads and the highways because we've been on all of them and...
Man.
Tell me
Highway
about,
80, what a joke.
Highway 80, 680, 580, 505, all of them.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
All right, now I'm mad, dude.
All right, let's stop complaining. Let's take a break. Everyone, let's woosah a little bit, shall we? Much needed. Woosah. That's right, we are FM... Wait, that's not who we are. That's the station. Hold on. Hey, turn my mic off. Give me a second. Let
All
me
right,
recompose
here we go.
Myself. Ooh. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are tuned in to Talking About Practice, Chico's number one sports talk show. Dro, Rude Dog, Statman Brad, all in the building. Big shout out to you for spending some of your evening with us here. Also, big shout out to our friends over at Chico Community Acupuncture, offering accessible and effective health care through acupuncture. Chico Community Acupuncture offers relief from aches and pains, stress reduction, and helps promote general wellness. At Chico Community Acupuncture, payment is based on a sliding scale at 1815 Mangrove Ave. Appointments and information at ChicoCommunityAcupuncture.com, on Facebook, and at 530-345-5300. Se habla español.
Órale.
So.
Yes, sir.
The next California governor elections is 2026. I say one of us runs, the rest of us back them, and go into their cabinet.
Yeah, why not?
I like this idea. I think we could all run it better, and we get paid.
Yeah. I mean, the guy who is leading the Republican vote right now just got indicted last week. I mean, like the standards for
anyone can run.
For
and do
which
like,
I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be good, dude.
If Kanye West could get some votes, so can we? Damn it!
Right?
Really though.
Gavin Newsom looks like a supervillain. Okay, like I feel like we could definitely pick up some votes.
100%
If we run independent.
From all the people and all of our fans that we have on this,
I think what movie type of superhero? Like thinking 007?
No, I think so. Gavin Newsom looks like he was the mayor of Gotham in The Dark Knight Rises, that then ends up flipping and becoming part of The crime syndicate.
Yep.
He's actually working for the mobs.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. And if his, I don't know what I signed up for, but I would like if he would stop texting me, please. I would really love that. I don't want to vote for you.
No,
I don't want to vote for the other guy or gal.
I'm not going to give you no damn money either.
And I'm certainly not giving you any money.
Not a damn dollar.
Listen, this
unless
is the same
that money
thing.
Goes to Ohtani, I don't want it.
Well, Ohtani text. Now, if Shohei Ohtani, if the Giants text me and said, hey, we need a dollar, we're going to sign Ohtani, I'll give you all the dollars that I can spare.
Yep. You know what? As a Californian governor, you can even make the Dodgers pay for the Ohtani tax.
Whoa. Yeah. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
This is the kind of corruption I can get behind. This is the type of corruption I could get behind.
Yes.
Listen, Derek's out. Usually, this is where we go to the news. But we're not going to do that because Derek's out. I don't want to step on his segment, even though I have before, and sometimes I enjoy doing it. But the fact of the matter is, I'm over the news. And unless he's bringing us the funny news, I don't really want to talk about what's going on in the world right now because it's mainly a bummer. instead, I'd like to talk about our friend Calvin Black. He's performing this Saturday at the Chico Women's Club. He's awesome, makes great music. So I figured I'll bring one of his songs to the audience, play that while we get Aaron on the line. We could take a little show reset, a little show break. On the other side of that, Aaron's going to talk about the PGA Tour Championship. I know my boy Rudy wants to talk about it a little bit, but Calvin is performing at the Women's Club with Lo and Behold. What's the event called? Do you know what it's called?
When? On Saturday?
Yeah, it's on Saturday.
I don't.
You don't?
No, I was going to talk about another concert a week from Saturday.
Okay, let me stay here for a second. So our man, your friend, Steve, over at Pullen Cyclery, they're selling tickets. So if you want to get yourself some tickets, I'd go over there. If you've never been to the Women's Club, what are you doing? It's a great little venue.
Nice spot.
Yeah, it's a cool spot right here, you know, walking distance from downtown Chico. It's beautiful. So go check out our boy Calvin. Here's his new single, Boppington. This thing is fire.
Straight gas, dude.
This is some fire. So we're going to get to this. We're going to take our little break. What concert did you want to promote, my friend?
A week from Saturday, it's the Chico Live.
Okay.
Downtown Plaza from noon to 7. There's some big names. Our boy Riley will be playing with the Funnels at noon.
Riley plays in a band?
Well, he plays the drums, and he got asked to play the drums.
That's dope.
For this band.
Okay.
So, tickets are going quick, so get your tickets. 12 to 7, September 9th, Downtown Plaza, the Chico Live Festival. So check it out.
I dig it. $94,900,000 if everyone who drove across the Bay Bridge today gave a dollar.
Yeah.
That's how much we'd have in a
year.
Wait,
is that just the Bay Bridge?
That's just the Bay Bridge.
Oh, so if we're adding in the... Bay Golden and all the other, like the Antiochs and whatnot.
Yeah, we're good.
Oh.
Bro, it would be too easy.
Let's get to the
single.
We could
do that half a year.
Right?
Yeah. 50 cents, I think we'd be fine.
A quarter of the year.
Yes.
Come on.
Oh, do you already have Aaron?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. But if you want to put Calvin Black on.
Let's get to Calvin later. We have Aaron. Let's. I don't want to waste your time on hold. Yeah, that's not fair to her. So each and every week, we class up the show a bit by bringing on our foreign correspondent to cover all the sports we didn't pay enough attention to. So we bring on Aaron. Aaron, hello.
No intro music? Guys?
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, I was like, "What are you doing?" I was waiting for the intro music. I'm sorry, Aaron.
Listen, I'm spinning a lot of plates here.
You're doing the same job. You're doing the same job as before. I'm producing over here.
I'm sitting in Derek's seat.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that was your own fault. You decided to put yourself there.
What's the best view of everyone?
Well, thank you.
Aaron, hello.
All my views are the best view.
Yeah, it's a pretty small table. An interesting way to put it.
I mean, listen, whatever. You're here now. We're glad you're here. Help us. What happened this past weekend in the PGA Tour Championship? But let me prompt you a little different. The PGA Tour Champion. It's the format is a little different, is it not?
Stupid.
Correct.
It's the dumbest thing ever invented. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, they get starting strokes, I think, is technically what it's called. So Scottie Scheffler was number one, so he started out at 10 under. Victor Hovland was second, so he started out at 8 under, so on and so forth. And there's 30 people or 30 competitors, and it goes all the way up to even par. So obviously you want to do the best on the tour because you get to be Scottie Scheffler and start at 10 under. However, it didn't serve him so well this weekend. And I think it says a lot about golf. So Victor Hovland ends up winning by 5 strokes. He shot a 63 on Sunday. He won $18 million.
My God.
Money, 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 baby.
Yeah. $3.6 million he won the weekend before. So I think this just kind of says a lot about golf. It's such a mental game that you play.
Yes.
Hovland, like, took his win from last weekend. He was able to, you know, put that into another win, you know, so 2 weekends in a row, there he had the momentum. And even though Scotty was the best throughout the season, Scotty fell apart last weekend and he ended up finishing tied for 6th at 11 under. So he did not have a good weekend at all.
As usual, his putting is his killer. And oh, dude, if he could putt, he would be unstoppable. He'd be almost damn near like Tiger Woods, not obviously, but it'd be close because that. His ball striking, every part of his game is top besides his damn putting. Continue, sorry.
Yeah, so it's just really interesting, I think, the game of golf.
Yeah, and I mean, you alluded to it, right, that golf is a mental game, and that's exactly what you're talking about. It's those putts. I mean, as a not very good golfer, working on it, trying to get better, took a couple strokes off. This past week, I'm getting better, but it's the putting, dude. It's when you have a great approach shot, you're 4 feet from the cup, yep. And then you start thinking, and that's the problem, and that's why it's a beautiful game.
For a perfect example, Jon Rahm slayed the first half of the season, and he needed to work on his game, so he needed to improve his striking to the left to win the Masters. Long story short, he perfected that so well that every other course was a complete opposite, and he couldn't go back to his normal playing, and that's why he played the way he played the second half of the season. He didn't do anything at all. So for him, you know, he played well to win the Masters because he's never won it, but he played so well the first half.
I would take a win at the Masters and do absolute trash the second half just to win the Masters.
Yeah, well, that's what he did.
Yeah.
But, dude, he was winning everything beforehand. And then he switched up his game for the Masters and he didn't do a damn thing.
And then you see $18 million on the table.
Yeah.
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 Damn.
So, you know, he was right there. That makes right me, there to win it.
I get so excited for people to win money, and then I start to think about like what that even looks like. What would it look like to have 18
just to hit your account? Boom,
yeah,
baby.
I mean, granted, after taxes, it's $9 million. To have $9 million in the bank after a weekend of work,
payday.
Play golf.
Oh my god!
To be the best in the
for
world
us,
at age
that's
25?
Us set for life at that point.
Oh, yeah,
we have to. We get to work part time for the rest of our lives. Well, that's me set for life if I put Steph solely in charge of the bank account, because I could burn through that money, baby. I could figure out a way to spend $9 million.
Everyone can.
No, but you're absolutely right. You got anything else for us on the PGA Tour Championship, Aaron?
That's it, but we got the Ryder Cup coming up in a couple weeks. That's going to be exciting.
USA.
USA.
Yeah. USA. All right. Woo! Do you want to stick around for a question or two?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's do that. So this first one reads, no time for the boys, not even on Saturdays.
Oh.
Hello, guys and gal. This question is for everyone, including Erin, even though she's not a boy. Okay? love what y'all do, and I've been listening for the last 5 years. I write to get help on an ominous trend I have recognized in my friend group. A little context to get this question started. I am 32 years old, and all my boys are around the same age. Over the past 3 to 4 years, as my boys started getting married and having children, there's been a drastic decline in bro time. We used to watch football together nearly every Sunday and go to several 49ers games throughout the season. During the summer, we would make a minimum of 4 to 5 trips to San Francisco to watch the Giants. Unfortunately, this number is plummeting every year. It turns out that getting old sucks, and Saturdays are no longer for the boys, or Sundays for that matter, or hardly any days. This year, we only made it to one Giants game and didn't even make a Niners game. What can I do to get the band back together? Or am I doomed to the inevitability of growing up
and the bros only seeing each other once or twice a year from here on out. To paint a clearer picture, I can understand that relationships take priority of hanging out over hanging out with the boys. I am in a long-term relationship myself and plan on proposing on our trip to Australia this winter. Woo. So it's not like, congrats, by the way, it's not like I don't understand making your significant other your world. What I am struggling to deal with is a lack of planning things as a group. All the women in our lives get along as well, so we can do group outings, and all of them are also supportive of us hanging out. What suggestions do you all have to help keep the bros broing on forever?
So can I start? I know last week didn't go too well for me, but...
Yeah, We'll try again. We'll see what happens.
Well, let me redeem myself here. But as we get older, we got to plan a little bit further ahead. Yep. So see if, like, once the season comes out, say, hey, guys, this is what I'm hoping to do with you guys. At least plan two or three. I know you guys said you guys went out there four times. Like, one or two. Start from there. Just try that for the Giants games. But when it comes down to football Sunday, you might have to be the one that initiates it. And bring people over, have snacks or something like that. Bring your guys over. You might not get everybody every single week, but guess what? You're going to have them come over at least 4 to 5 times throughout the year, maybe even more. And honestly, as long as you start it, it could become a habitual thing where every Sunday your friends come over, your boys, their girls, and everybody comes over. But you're not going to know unless you put that out there and you get the ball rolling.
Yeah, agreed. Aaron, you got anything for our friend here?
Brad, you nailed it. If you want your friends to hang out, you're going to have to be the one that plans it. It's a lot of work, and you know, maybe you'll find out why that doesn't happen as often. But yeah, just start inviting them over. They'll come. If you build it, he will come.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I think you guys both nailed it. And what Brad said as far as having options. If you want to go to games, when you get married, I can attest to this. I'm not even married. There's just more stuff on your plate, period. And so the more heads up you can give me, the more apt to being able to go I'll be. And if you could give us several options, then we could strategize. Like, we could do this or that. So, it's not over forever. But, the casual just hangouts after work, like, hey, I got done with work early. Anyone trying to grab a beer? It's going to become less and less frequent, and that's fine. That is part of growing up, especially for your friends who have kids. They don't have time to just go casually get a beer. And trust me, they're dying to. Let me tell you, they're dying to get
the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're down to host, I think that's one way to get the gang back together. I think that's sufficient for our friend here.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I got two short ones, so let's do that. Yo, fellas, and Aaron, I believe both Brad and Drew are getting married this year. Congrats. I think Aaron already is. She is indeed married to Nate Diggy, friend of the show. Big shouts to him. Love that guy. And he asks here, recently I got engaged to the love of my life, and we are just starting some wedding planning. We don't know if we want to do it locally or if we want to do a destination wedding. I believe both Drew and Brad, one is doing a local, one is doing destination.
He does listen, and dang.
Yeah.
Good for this guy.
Thank you. I want to limit this question. I don't want to limit this question to the folks who are planning weddings, but to everyone. I'd be curious to know what mistakes you guys made, what advice you can offer for local versus a destination wedding, and any pitfalls I should avoid when planning a wedding. Aaron, you are the only person who has successfully already executed a wedding, so I want to start with you. Do you have any advice for our friend here?
Yeah, I might be the worst one here, because Nathan and I got married at a pizza parlor.
Is that for real?
Yeah, I swear.
No,
it was very small. I didn't really care. I think it's... I think one of the major pitfalls is, you know, a budget. Decide what you want to really decide, and know that anything that you have, like, picked out, like, when you're getting married, there is just, like, a 30% markup. I'm assuming that you have run into this, Drew and Brad.
Yeah.
On everything.
Yep.
Literally everything. They're like, hey, would you like a towel for your wedding? That's going to be $47. Well, this is the same towel for my bathroom. Yeah, but it's a wedding towel, so it's $47.
Yeah, it's a special one.
Yeah, you're right on there. What I could say, so things to just be mindful of. I don't know what your funds are or what type of people you and your fiance are. What I could tell you to look out for is if you're going to do it local and you have family in town and you have a decent sized friend group, mm-hmm. and based on your age, I know about how old these folks are. My guess is you have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Here's where the problem lies. Because it's local, everyone is going to assume they're invited.
Yeah.
And every single person you invite, you have to pay for.
Yeah.
And I know, Brad, you're facing this issue right now.
Right now, yeah. I just had a friend. We were in a friend group, and a lot of my friends in that friend group just can't make it. Or we didn't invite them because of how expensive it is. And that's the hard truth, is sometimes you just got to cut some people, and hopefully they understand. It's like you're paying for everybody.
Yeah, if you're good with having a smaller wedding, but you still want to do it up, a destination wedding worked for us. You are requiring a lot more mm-hmm. from the attendees, and it's going to greatly diminish the amount of people who will be able to go if you do a destination wedding. However, that might be for the best. You get a vacation out of it. And for us, it took a lot of the thinking out of it. It's basically, do you want this package or that package? Do you want this color or that color? You don't have to talk to 40 different vendors. You don't have to negotiate with people. You don't have to check with this. If this vendor is available, you like this photographer, but this photographer isn't available, so you got to go with this. You don't have to deal with any of that. They just like, hey, here's what the deal is. How many people you got? Here's the varying packages for that. So I would just say, if you're going to do it locally, just know a lot of people mm-hmm. are just going to expect to go. And if you're cool with that and you can afford it, then by all means.
And like the one big thing that we've seen, that Sandra and I have seen, is there are cheaper options that look like the real deal, like Amazon with linens. They're like $20-$30 for tabletops, and honestly, they're washable. You can resend them out. So there's options out there that to make it cheaper if you wanted to do it local and have more people there.
One thing, I DJ'd a wedding this Saturday at Centerville Estates, which is just absolutely beautiful. It's my favorite, by far my favorite
That's
wedding
a solid
venue.
One.
It's my favorite wedding venue in the area. It's absolutely gorgeous. My guy Johnny, who runs the place, I've worked with him. I've DJ'd probably 5-6 times out there for weddings. He was telling me he's noticed a trend that the more money spent on the occasion, the more likely that partnership's not going to work.
Oh.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, because all the money you're spending is money that could go towards a house
yep.
or a honeymoon
anything else.
This is one day. That's why we decided to make ours a vacation. If we're going to spend thousands of dollars, it's actually cheaper for us to get married in Mexico at a resort, all inclusive, than mm-hmm. it was to get married here. Because again, that tax that Aaron alluded to, if it's anything related to a wedding, just mark it up 30-50%.
One thing I've been told that we didn't get told early enough is tell them it's a business event.
Too late.
Yeah, no, it's too late for us, but for them, tell them it's a business event.
Right.
Or it's like a family gathering.
It's just a party.
Yeah.
That's technically what you're paying for.
Yes.
That's a big party.
Yeah, correct. The upsell is for the wedding, but for a party, they're not going to upsell you on that one. So, yes.
I like the pizza parlor idea myself.
Yes, that's
and
a great one.
Hindsight is 20. I'm very, very, very excited about our wedding in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
All inclusive, you really can't beat that.
No.
But hindsight being 2020, a pizza parlor sounds pretty dope. Listen, there you
it's, you got to do what the fiance wants to do.
Yeah,
exactly.
Parlor, don't do it. It's not worth it. But let me tell you, it was still the best day of our lives.
Yeah.
You just so much fun. And so I think that's maybe another thing going into it, maybe give the fiance what she wants. But just remember, it's going to be a great day anyways. Just,
no doubt.
Enjoy it. Have fun.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Whatever she wants to do, that's what you want to do, pal. And here's the thing, you got to act like you're interested, but not be too opinionated. You got to care. You can't not care. You have to care a little bit, but you can't care too much. And whatever one she likes, that's the one you like. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I like this one, but then kind of give her opinion. It's like, I see what you're saying. I think that would actually be a better option.
Yeah.
Like, really give your opinion, then defer it to hers.
Yes.
That's
correct.
All she wants to hear is your opinion. Then it gets deferred to hers.
That's right. That's all. That's it.
Yep.
For the rest of your life. So
great advice. Start
early.
Start
now. Aaron, excellent as always. We will catch up with you next week. Thank you for your time.
Talk to you later, guys.
And later, Aaron. That was Aaron, our foreign correspondent. We love having her on. She always classes up the show, makes us smarter, makes us classier, makes us look better. Mm-hmm. So let's get dirty again. Rudy's got his picks for the week. Rudy, 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 hey!
It just occurred to me what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy.
I'm gambling again.
Well, now that golf is over, shout out to all my beautiful bets that I had this year and my best season, best year so far, unit-wise, I cashed out, baby.
Woo! Let's go!
Thank you, Kitayama. Thank you, Wyndham Clark, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler, Jon Rahm, Lucas Glover. I mean, everyone, dude, balled out for me.
Victor I love Hoblin. That you're giving it yeah. Thank you.
They made me a lot of money, especially Kitty Young with 20,000 to one odds. Shouts to you, boy. Oh, man, that was a beautiful win. But it's over now, and it's sad to see because I enjoy the game of golf. But college football is here, so that's what we're rolling this weekend, baby. We got Michigan at home. I'm doing a two-team teaser because, you know, I love my teasers,
baby. Yes, sir.
Baby.
Let's go.
Michigan at home against ECU. I don't care if you don't have your OC. I don't care if Harbaugh's not going to be there. I'm taking him at minus 30 or minus 29. Sorry.
But that's wow, that's a big number.
Well, it's a yeah, but they're going to blow them up.
Okay.
Let's
okay.
go. And then the second part is going to be USC at home against Nevada. They
okay.
had a tune-up game last week against San Jose State, which they barely covered, I believe, the snow. They did not cover the spread by a point or two. Anywho.
What was this, what was the point spread, do you remember?
It was, I think it was 30.5.
They won 30 by, and a half?
They won by 28 or something
yep.
like that.
Yep,
yeah.
28.
So, long story short, I got SC at home, another teaser at minus 31. Yes, they're big, but Caleb Williams is Caleb Williams.
The line right now is at minus 38.
Yeah,
well, but you I got it at 31.
It. Good.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
It's a two-team teaser.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes. So
that's smart.
There you go. Minus 31 USC. Minus what did I say? Michigan was minus 30. Minus 29. Sorry.
Yep.
So there you go. Two-team teaser. Keeping it light and simple. And, NFL's right around the corner as well.
Yes, sir.
So let's keep this train going.
Yeah, baby. Let's go. I love go. The positivity.
Yep,
let's get
let's
it.
Let's do it.
All right. Do we have a North State update,
We
sir?
Absolutely do.
All right. Then
we don't need the intro on this one. We can keep it rolling.
Okay. All right.
I appreciate it, though. But it was a big weekend for the Chico teams as Pleasant Valley and Chico started their seasons. Off to a great start. Peavy played against Corning and it was not a pretty one in the beginning of this game. 37-0 at the end of the first half. Yeah, PV was up 37-0 at the end of the first half, playing Corning at home. And then Corning scored 18 points, and PV scored 7 to end the game. So they go off to a 1-0 start as they head over to, or they're staying at home against Yuba City this upcoming Friday at 7. So that'll be another tune-up for this gauntlet they have coming up next against Oak Ridge Central Catholic and Rancho Cotati. So that'll be fun next couple weeks seeing that after the Yuba City match. But going to Chico High.
City Honkers.
Yep, the Yuba City Honkers.
And the Willows Honkers.
And the Willows Honkers. That's and we will so actually weird. Get to the Willows Honkers here in just
okay,
one second.
Sorry,
so
sorry,
Chico, sorry. So Chico High played against Sutter and they beat them 26-24. It was a close match, but the Panthers prevail. So they will go in 1-0 to start the season. They'll be playing against the other Yuba City team, River Valley. Not the cat I like to hear, but you know what? It is part of the season, so I'll give them that. They'll play against River Valley, and then after that, they'll play against Yuba City. So little Yuba City Chico action coming up this upcoming week.
Okay.
But Chico will be away against River Valley and then home against Yuba City the week after. And Durham played against the Willows Honkers. Good rivalry matchup there. Big history, but the Willows Honkers comes away with the victory.
Hey.
And they're not in the same conference anymore. The Durham is in the Sacramento Valley, and Willows moved on a few years ago from what I've understood. So, but the rivalry still lives on. It just won't be during the league matches. So, Durham will be playing against Williams at Williams this Friday at 7:30. So that is your North State update. We'll be bringing in Chico State Athletics next week.
All right.
If we got some time. So we have soccer,
there
both men and women's.
Love it.
So. Let's go.
Can I knock out a couple grinds my gears?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When people tell you summer's over, listen, if you're an adult, no one has the right to tell you when your summer is over. Just because your kids have to go to school ain't got nothing to do with me.
Amen.
It's 97 degrees
Amen.
Outside. It is 100%, summertime.
100%.
Okay? Summer ends September 21st, according to the calendar. And summer for me ends when I put on my first hoodie. Okay?
Straight up.
Until then, it is summertime.
Yep.
Straight I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Summer's over.
That's a valid timeline. My first hoodie goes on. That's a valid
That's
timeline.
When summer's over.
That's a valid timeline.
I'm sick of it. I've seen so many people, summer's over. I know it's not, bro.
Maybe for you, not for me, homie.
Guess who wore shorts to work today? This guy. Okay? It's hot. As long as it's in the 90s, bro, it's summertime.
100%,
dude. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, thank
God.
You.
God.
Well said.
All right. I have some other ones, but that's...